Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Dang.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back. Happy Halloween. We're not wearing anything cool. Or
I had my hat, but I took it off because I didn't want to be a loner.
Yeah, well, I don't have anything. I used it all up.
Where's your pirate thing that you
those
wore?
Those are lost to history, as far as I'm concerned. They're gone. I have no idea.
What about your thing two? We were thing one and thing two. For those very few viewers who do not see us hanging out Saturday night, that was probably our most liked Facebook post and tweet of all time.
Yeah, that was really good. People actually like that for some reason.
Which shows the content that you guys want from us. That's enough Survivor analysis. Just give Phil and Alexa in bright red onesies and call it a day.
That's all anybody wants. So we don't even need to talk about what happened in this episode. We don't need to talk about that Emerge is coming up next time. Yeah. We should just sit here and talk about what we wore on Halloween over the weekend.
Yeah. It's not like this was easily the best episode of the season with thousands of talking points.
You think this was the best episode? See, I don't think this was the best episode of the season. Maybe it's because you're actually back for good and you get to watch it.
Yeah, maybe it's because I actually got to like do my routine, do my whole thing instead of, you know, jumping off of Phil's couch a couple mornings ago. And him and I deciding, not knowing whether or not we should look at the camera or look at each other when we were podcasting together. I thought this was the best episode of the season so far. And there have been six. So again, call it a hot take. It's not that big. But this one, it wasn't funny. I think I saw Jessica Lewis tweet it. She's like, I have nothing funny to tweet about because this is so emotional. But there was so much conflict on every single beach. And I understood where every single side was coming from on every single angle. So I thought it was really good because it showed that these dynamics are just a piping hot mess. Lyris's final words, I said this to Phil right before we went live, were hilarious. And I thought this was a very, like, I don't like to use this word, but this was a very meta episode. You have Elizabeth talking about, oh, before I was on Survivor, like she talks about the weeks leading up to being on Survivor. And then Lyrsa in her, in her final words, she says, not only do I have to go like physically be next to Natalie in 10 minutes, but I also have to sit next to her at the reunion, which is, what, 9 months from when she recorded that? She's really thinking ahead there, which is hilarious. So there's a funny moment. How about that?
Yeah, I know. Her last words were good. I was really surprised. I actually thought Angelina was going to go home tonight. I thought that Lyrsa and Nick might have been closer than Mike would have been with Angelina, and Nick might have been able to convince Mike, but Mike's running this, and I think that the same thing's going to happen when the merge hits next week. If Nick and Christian get back together, I feel like Christian is running that side of the alliance. I feel like Nick thinks he's running things, but Nick is somebody who his alliances are working because him and Mike totally determined who went home tonight. But I don't think that Nick should be as comfortable as he is. I think that there's a good chance that Nick ends up. I don't know, just being kind of like the second fiddle the entire game, no matter who he ends up going with, whether it be Christian, whether it be Mike, and maybe he can bring those two alliances together. But after what I saw tonight, it kind of seems like Mike was the one who was in control of that alliance. Nick wasn't, and that's why we ended up seeing Lyrissa go home instead of Angelina. And I think that Angelina probably should go home in the situation because Angelina is so much more threatening once a merge hits than Lyrissa is.
I think Nick – well, I think you bring up a good point, and that I do think you're right that Nick is going to be some kind of glue. But at the same time, I don't even know if Christian needs Nick anymore. Christian's got all of his dude bros, so he's kind of fine. And you see – I mean, this merge is going to be a big mess, but you see, like – Christian is the one who's kind of leading the charge in these conversations in the preview. But do you think, and this was such a cool dynamic, this four-person vote out with four people who I didn't think really had that much of a connection to each other. I never felt a big connection between Nick and Lyrissa. I never felt a big connection between Angelina and Mike. And Lyrissa had one of those Josh Wigler interviews last week where she kind of broke down the dynamics that we don't really see. And she said that she and Angelina did have a pretty fun relationship and everyone did get along great, but it didn't translate to the screen very well. So I found it odd that, and again, Nick ended up voting for Lyrissa, so this ended up being a good editor's trick, but I found it odd that Nick was like, I'm sticking with Lyrissa, which almost devalued him because then that puts Mike in the flip position where Mike kind of wins either way. And that was a tough decision. We were really led to believe that Angelina was going home, but she didn't, which means she is barreling head first into the merge boot.
Merge boot. I know. We've been saying it a lot.
Flying like at the speed of light.
She really is though. And this is shaping up to be a Sarah Lucina, I feel like, type boot because she is so confident in everything that's going on. I don't think she realizes how close she was to going home in this episode. And had the numbers not been even, she probably does go home. If this would have just evened up the numbers, she probably goes home. But Mike, like Mike said, he likes the people who are on the other side. So he can't just get rid of two Goliaths in a row and then expect to be able to go back to the people that he wanted to work with or that he liked. So this is a smart move by Mike. But this is also why last week I was saying they probably should have gotten rid of Lyrissa, because then you don't have this complexity going into this episode. Because if you get rid of Lyrissa first, like – the way that I look at this episode is if Mike would have gotten rid of Angelina tonight, it would have made sense to get rid of Natalie last week. But by getting rid of Natalie last week, you're pretty much saying, okay, that means Angelina or that means Lyrissa was more important to me than the Goliaths. Because getting rid of Lyrissa this week or last week doesn't make a difference. She's still going home and she's still one of your top two choices. And based on that challenge and based on who's on your tribe, you have to be kind of figuring, okay, we're probably going to lose again at some point. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to pull off any of these physical challenges. So whether we have Natalie or Lyrissa, we're probably going to lose. And so if they would have actually voted out Lyrissa, Mike's not in this conundrum. He doesn't look as bad maybe to the Goliaths right away because, you know, I mean, maybe we were being led to believe that he was getting eyes. Maybe he wasn't getting them as much as we think. But I think that had he done that, this is an easy boot this week. And last week, it still would have been easy to get rid of Lyrissa because as Nick showed today, he's willing to just bend over for it. You know, he's ready to give in to whatever Mike is telling him to do. So, yeah, Mike is probably doing a very good job of making Nick think that he's also a part of the decision. But it is Mike's decision ultimately. And that's why I think that it would have been easier to go Lyrissa and then Natalie instead of Natalie and then Lyrissa. And you're in this really tricky position. And you have to kind of vote out Lyrissa this week, and you don't really have a choice when maybe in your heart you're saying, let's get rid of Angelina.
Well, I think this wasn't just him. The Jabroni tribe voting Natalie out first probably inspired them voting out Lyrissa, because Mike specifically commented on the negative reactions that he got or that the tribe got when Natalie was gone. And I think that kind of put the fear of God in him. And he said, I'm walking into this merge. And I think everyone knows it's not really going to be a David versus Goliath thing, but it's not a great look. Even though, again, no, everyone seems to be faring just fine with the whole David versus Goliath breakout, I think people still have that tie to their original tribe. So I think that really scared him. But I saw some really funny tweet, which reminded me. Someone said the reason Lyrissa is doing bad in this challenge is because Natalie isn't there to tell her how to do it.
That's funny. That's funny. I like that.
Yeah, but this was a really good one. It must have been you who texted me like I'm really liking this dynamic, or I'm really liking Mike's dilemma, because even though I just said it doesn't feel like any of these four have a connection, I think that's probably just a result of we're only seeing Angelina talk about strategy. We're seeing Lyrissa with her funny one-liners. We're seeing the Rockstar guys doing their own thing. We're not really seeing them cohesive, but I think in a sense they were. And I think it was Mike who said, we're all huge fans and this is just going to suck for whoever this goes, whoever way this goes. Mm-hmm. And you don't see that too often. It happens here and there, but it was refreshing. It kind of makes you take a step back. I think actually I wrote down exactly what he said. He said, to have one of them go home, it isn't as fun as I thought it would be. And that really struck me.
Yeah. And so, but as I'm watching this, I don't necessarily think that they were as tight as we were being led to believe tonight. I just think that because it was 2-2 and because it's such a small tribe, I think that it was more of a, we don't actually know who to get rid of than a, oh my God, we're so tight. I feel like Nick and Mike are tight. I feel like one of the girls, neither of them really got along that well. They weren't, you know, this wasn't like the, what is it? The row 2-4? Was it the row 2-4? Right? Or was it Maramu? Whichever one it was. I think it was Maramu. Yeah, it was. But with Pascal, Nalia, Kathy, and Gina, like the four of them were so tight. They bonded really hard because they were such underdogs. They somehow won an immunity challenge. That was a huge, huge, huge thing for them. And so when they had to go to tribal council to vote out somebody, that was actually a really hard decision for them because they all really got along with each other because they all came from similar areas. They all had similar underdog stories. This is still an underdog tribe, but I don't feel like they were necessarily super tight. I think it was just who do we get rid of? Because it's 7-7. Whoever goes home this week, the other side has the upper hand from original tribes. Here, we're going to be in a situation where we either keep around Lyrissa, who maybe we don't trust as much, or we keep around Angelina, who is just talking strategy 100 times a day. And now she's going to hit the merge, and you know that she's going to try to be a gamer. So I think that that's more of why we were led to believe that they were tight, but in reality, they were just really confused as to who to vote out.
Yeah, I think it's less of they were tight and more of, I think you're right, they were certainly confused, but I guess tight was the wrong word. I think I more meant like they're all gigantic fans and they all know that. Like, I don't think this conundrum would have been the same if you replaced Lyrissa with like Alec. And not because Alec is like better in challenges than Lyrissa. It's just because like Alec doesn't have that same emotional attachment to it that Lyrissa does.
Yeah.
Oh man, you said something, but it's really, I completely lost my train of thought on
it. I want to throw this out there real quick for the prop bet game. This might be the first time ever that we don't get somebody sitting out three times. We right now, the most we have is Angelina, Kara, Gabby, and Elizabeth have all sat out twice. Everybody else has only sat out once.
Wow.
And so when we go into this merge, unless people are sitting out for food or something like that, we're probably going to be in a situation where we don't get anybody actually sitting out three times.
Wow. That might be a first, at least in my experience.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever happened before. And now we have, in terms of rewards, I mean, that's a little bit different. But still, there's only three people who have enjoyed four rewards. So, you know, the prop bet thing this year, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I just wanted to throw that out there for anybody with the sit-outs if you've been keeping track. And I think a lot of that has to do with when they swapped. It was after it was still close. You know, it was still tight tribes.
I think, yeah, and now that we're tracking it out, I remember Allison raised her hand to sit out, and I was like, wait, what? Like, why? And you realize that there's five people, and they were going to sit Gabby out for the immunity challenge. So, yeah, that's some pretty cool distribution. I remembered my point, and I guess maybe we can start from the beginning because there were so many, like, pretty big scenes. But this is going back to Lyrissa, which also ties back to the first act, whatever you want to call it. I was surprised that Lyrissa didn't budge on not wanting to work with Angelina, because I get that Angelina is coming off as kind of shady and she's probably going to become, if not already has been, a pretty shady player. But I was surprised that Lyrissa completely shut her down, because I think, and Lyrissa said at the beginning, like, I can't believe I'm still here, which was red flag number one. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm still hanging around. But I think that jacket thing really kind of got to her. And this is something I didn't bring up in the episode 5 recap because I was not available for it. But no matter what your side is on this jacket gate, Lyrissa and Natalie and Colby with his hat and Jerry with her glasses, they are at an advantage because they were given a jacket. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they should have given. If I was voted out, I wouldn't have given them my jacket. I wouldn't have given Angelina my holy sock, but I wouldn't have given up my jacket. But the point that I'm trying to make is I don't think we can fully blame Angelina. I think Angelina went way too far with it, especially bringing it up after the fact, because Ligasa was clearly upset with it. I think we forget how bad these conditions are and how some people, Purple Kelly, are just not given the same resources that other people are, which is an inherent issue with Survivor that I'm not really sure how they fix. Actually, I'm sure how they fix it. They give them all babies at the same time. I don't know. There's got to be a way to deal with that.
Well, let me ask you this then. Where did that jacket that Angelina was wearing the entire episode come from?
I don't know whose that was.
She was wearing a jacket the entire episode. Pants?
I don't know. Yeah, we need to talk. That's a good
because
call.
That was a warm-looking jacket, too. It's not like that was some, like, windbreaker. Yeah, it was fuzzy. It was, I think it might have been even made out of, like, wool or something. Like, it was
high-end fur.
Yeah, like, I'm not buying that she didn't have that jacket already, and that looks like a pretty warm jacket. So I do think we see everybody walking around in some sort of long sleeve shirt. It's not like we're in situations here. Who was somebody who literally had nothing? Austin back in Pearl Islands literally had nothing because he sold it all. And so that was a situation where they said, screw it, we're not giving him anything. And that guy just kept getting sick because all he had was his jacket. He didn't even have a shirt. And so like that was brutal. But I think right now it looks like they all do have some sort of jacket. It just seems like Natalie's jacket and maybe Lyrus's jacket. It looks like Lyrus's jacket is water resistant. It looks like Natalie's jacket was the warmest.
That's what I was going to say. Natalie's Lyrus's jacket is one that I would wear when it's raining. Angelina's is one that I would wear like right now cuddled up in my bed. But yeah. You're right. She was still wearing something. We should tweet at her because I'm curious where she got that.
Yeah, I know. And so I'm still buying that Angelina's going to be our merge boot here just because – even in the preview that we saw for next week, she wants it so much her way. She wants to be in control. Angelina's
not. She said something. She was like, I am in control. She said, like, the kiss of death quote.
Yeah, she did. I really thought she was going home tonight because she even said, Lyrsa's 100% going home. And she said something about being in control. And she just can't not be in control. Like, she doesn't know how to not be in control. And it's really funny. So I think that it will end up biting her in the butt this next episode. There's no way I don't think Christian's going to be the merge boot, especially after what he had tonight, where he was talking about, you know, spearfishing and everything, and now he wants to be one of the cool people, and it's coming from his entire, like, arc. Merge boots aren't normally shown as being very self-aware, and that was something with RC and something with, you know, Jessica, I guess, was a little bit more...
It wasn't really her fault.
Yeah, that wasn't really her fault, but still, we don't get these
Sarah,
super...
Sarah Lucina.
Yeah, she wasn't... Yeah, exactly. We're not getting these huge arcs from the merge boots that we get from somebody like Christian, who's going to go very deep in this game, because we're getting the heart to him too. We're getting the bottom, the rise, the fall, everything. And Angelina right now, I feel like, is getting a very one-dimensional arc where it's, I'm better than you. How am I going to get through this next episode? And it doesn't seem like she has the self-awareness necessary to win the game. And I also think that lack of self-awareness, when there's 13 people left, makes you a really, really, really big target once you hit this point.
I don't think it's an I'm better than you. I mean, maybe she thinks that, but I don't think that's being conveyed. I think she's very strategy heavy, which is another thing that is...
smarter than you. That's probably better to say. Not I'm better,
maybe,
but I'm smarter.
But I don't think... I think she's just, like, maybe she thinks she's playing harder than people. I don't see any, like, demeaning aspects from her. I think she is very smart. But I think she's, like, what did she say? And they probably had so much fun cutting this, but Jeff was like, oh, you're playing with your head and your heart. And she was like, and strategy. And mm-hmm. Everyone, like, rolled their eyes at that. So I think she's coming in, like, super hot with that. And I think... everybody else is playing a strategic game, but they're not talking about it as much, or they're masking it as more of a social game. And so I think that's going to be your biggest downfall, because I think I said this last week, she doesn't have a best friend. Who is going to defend her?
Yeah. She's not as slick as she thinks she is. That's what I'm trying to
say.
She's
not as slick as she thinks she is.
Because I don't think, I'm not sitting here being like, oh my God, I can't stand Angelina. I wanted her to go home so bad tonight.
No, I'm loving her to put that on the table.
Yeah, that's not the case at all. I really do like everybody who's left in this game. We got a little bit from Allison tonight, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a second. But I'm liking everybody who's left. I think this is a really diverse group of merge people, because we know everybody's story right now. We probably know Allison's the least, but tonight her saying that, you know, she's, her empathy is her biggest strong suit and all of that. So we know something about her going into this. We don't have a situation where you have a Sunday or a Will Wall or anything like that going into the merch. So I think that we have a lot of really well-developed characters. I just think right now Angelina's role is to kind of have the wool pulled over her eyes. I think that's what her role is going to be here, because look, she thinks that it's her and Mike. It wasn't her and Mike. It was her. It was Mike and Nick. And she has no idea that that was the case. Like, she really doesn't understand. I don't think she really realizes that if Nick wouldn't budge, Mike would have went over to that side with Nick.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I completely lost what I was saying. But yeah, I think you're right. And she's one of the few who we haven't gotten any personal content from. We got some personal content from Lyrsa. It's really just her and Allison. And we had the two of them really early on talking about how girls haven't found any idols. And we have three idols in two dudes' hands right now. So yep. Their prophecy is going unfulfilled at the moment. But yeah, I think she's going to be in a pretty tough spot, just because I don't think Mike is going to feel particularly indebted or allied to her as soon as they make that merge.
No, he did this to make himself look better to John and to Dan and to Kara and to all of them. That's what he did. That's why.
Which is, again, we don't know if it's a good move or not, but
I think it's a smart move. I completely get where
he's coming from on that.
Yeah. And I think that's why this dilemma was so interesting, is I think that Angelina is the more dangerous player, but I think that Lyrsa is the right move. And here's another thing that you could have done last week. Like, that, this is another reason why I think Lyrsa should have went first, because tonight, knowing the merge is one episode away, you could have voted Angelina out of the game tonight. And your excuse could have been, we still have the numbers and she was the bigger threat. Once the merge came, she was talking about trying to flip on us. That could have been an argument you could have made, which is another reason why I think it probably should have been Lyrsa first, because then you have options. Do you get rid of a goat, or do you get rid of somebody who can really win the game? And Angelina can really win the game. And I think that in that situation, you probably vote out Angelina. But in the situation that was presented, I do think that the move was right to get rid of Lyrsa, because you want everybody to be like, okay, we can. Everybody should feel like they can work with Mike. And Mike, knowing that he's more of a David at heart anyway, probably knows that he can go over and might have some more in common with these people.
Yeah, I see Mike working with these Davids a lot, mostly just because I don't really know who from the Goliaths he's still close with. But that last boot before the merge is always an interesting one, because you have Allie going home and Ryan. I remember we were like, how is Ryan going to explain this? And then you have Bradley going home and it's like, how is Dom going to explain this? And you have the same exact situation with Angelina. And it's usually not covered in the mess that is all of the merge conversations, but you have to wonder how much does that affect the other tribes' perception of how that went down? Because Mike could have said, let's say Angelina goes home. Mike could have said, oh, she was planning to blindside us, but then they're like, well, we're down 6-7. Yeah. So it's always a tough one, and I wish they talked about it more, but I get why they don't.
Or also, in those other two situations, yeah, it never even came up. It seems like it was just glossed over. So completely. That could have been another thing. Mike could have just done it, and it's like, oh, God, Angelina's gone. But at the same time, you've hit the merge, so who cares? You know, you're at the merge now. It's a brand new game. And I think Angelina's more threatening to win. But I do also think that maybe Mike is saying, I can control Angelina a little bit more than I can control Lyrsa. Or in the unpredictability, like, Angelina's more predictable, even though she's more of a strategist. You know what she's going to be thinking, because you can think like a strategist in Survivor. You might not be able to think like Lyrsa in Survivor. And I'm not saying Lyrsa's not a strategist.
I don't find anything unpredictable about Lyrsa. Boring and predictable, but like, I don't.
No. What I'm saying is, maybe what's more unpredictable with Lyrsa is who's her allegiance to. Is she going to just, like, here's the way I look at it is, you know what Angelina is going to do. You know how she's going to think. She's going to think like a game bot. She's going to think, as somebody who wants to be in control, how can she ensure she stays in control? Who does she need to get rid of here? Who does she need to get rid of there? She's going to be thinking like that. Lyrsa, is she going to have emotion come into it a little bit more? Because we saw that Angelina was willing to get rid of Natalie and vote also against Lyrsa to be like, hey, look, I want this jacket. Mm-hmm. So is Angelina's not going to let emotion get in the way. Will Lyrsa ever let emotion get in the way? And so I think that that's why you might want to keep Angelina.
I think she's very loyalty-based, which I think was made pretty clear by how she reacted to the jacket gate. I would have liked to see her and Elizabeth get back together, because Elizabeth is, I don't know what, I would love to hear your take on what happened on that Orange Tribe, because that was another weird one. But I think she felt very, very tied to Elizabeth. And I think she felt some loyalty to Nick, but I think Nick isn't playing as loyal of a game as Lyrsa was playing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. They're just prioritizing it differently.
Well, I mean, I think Nick's playing loyal to the people that he actually is aligned with. And I don't think he was ever as close with Lyrsa as Lyrsa might have thought. Yeah. I think that, you know, Nick has made alliances with – he made an alliance with Mike. And Lyrsa might have just been assuming, oh, we'll stick with our David plan. And that's not the way Nick was playing. Nick wants to play this game with people that he thinks he can go to the end with and beat. But what you were saying with that Orange Beach, that was so weird. That was
Do we want to go to that?
Might as well go to that, because they didn't go to Tribal. We watched them lose the reward challenge first, which I thought this reward challenge was pretty cool. I like the whole idea of the coconuts. I'm tired of watching people throw rings at things, but whatever.
I don't even remember. Oh, the fact that you had to hold that was cool.
Yeah, that I thought was pretty cool. I thought that was a pretty cool little idea. And, you know, of course that's going to help somebody like John.
We can – sorry, I really interrupted you there. We can get to this another point, but I am so over these challenges. I am bored to tears of these challenges.
Yeah, none of them are good.
Yeah,
they suck. None of them are – they're all really boring.
Let's talk about the Orange Tribe, and then I'll rant about challenges.
Yeah, no, then we can talk about those because, yeah, I agree with you. Tonight's reward, same thing. You know what the thing is. Yeah. I mean, at least they're trying – okay, we'll talk about the immunity in a second.
Immunity would have been great if they didn't have that puzzle at the end.
I agree. I agree. Just make it where you have to carry it back and forth. Make it like three or four trips, because the problem is you want it to come down to the puzzle, but you have such a weak tribe that you've completely ruined the entire dynamic of this, because as they're carrying this big circle, they just keep dropping it and they don't even get to do the puzzle. So we're sitting there like bored once we see that Jebeni can't even get the water line filled. We know that they're going to lose. So, you know, it's make so it so hard. That we can't really tell even. And it's like, oh, you know, you have to go back and forth five times or something, or you know, add something that's not a puzzle and not ring toss. Like, it's always ring toss.
I know, the ring toss is so bad. But the that looked toss. Heavy. That looked horrible.
Yeah, that looked awful. And you need somebody really strong. You could see, Angelina. Yeah, I would say Angelina and Nick were probably the two strongest in terms of upper body strength on that tribe. And you could even see them. I mean, Angelina kept on dropping her end. And then Mike, you know, Mike's older. People forget that Mike is older. He's not just weak. He's not like the weakest guy in the world. He's just older. And then Lyrsa's just small. So, you know, you have these other tribes where they have huge guys and Allison, who's 6'4", you know, it makes it hard. And
is Allison actually 6'4"? I wouldn't be surprised if she was.
I don't think so, but
stand by. I'm listening, really, but I'm Googling it.
That's fine. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about was with this Orange Tribe, because we didn't get much of them. We watched them lose a reward, then they go on and they win the other thing. What was weird about this is I felt for Elizabeth, and then I also felt like I thought everybody made good points in this scene, and I felt bad for Elizabeth, and I saw everybody feeling bad for Elizabeth, but how quickly they all turned on Elizabeth when she said the thing about a group decision, I thought was very interesting, because I think it shows that Elizabeth might have been rubbing them the wrong way for a little bit before this.
I think you're right. I'm sorry. I found a. I'm on Colombia's soccer team website, and I found her. Allison is 5'10", so she's 2 inches taller than me. She's pretty. She's pretty darn tall. She looks taller than that.
She looks taller than that because
she might be taller than like John.
Yeah, she looks tall because like you and me are like kind of the same height. I feel like Allison would tower over both of us.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't mean to interrupt your point about Elizabeth. Do you want to keep going, or do you want
you
me?
Totally
to...
Totally did.
And she is, her photo's great.
No, I just think, I think something's been going on with Elizabeth that we haven't seen from this tribe. Because Davey, who was like, go ahead, talk. Like, let's hear it. Let's hear what you want to say. And I think Davey's a pretty legit guy. I think he's a really sincere dude. Maybe Carl has a little more bitterness to him. But I think Davey's a really, like, he's all heart, honestly. And so when he said that, I was like, all right, we're good. And then how quickly he turned and was like, you want to talk about if this is a group decision? I thought that was kind of crazy because this was a moment where she was talking about a problem she had beforehand and how she's not a wuss and how she has all this pain. And it went from the, okay, we're going to hear the soft piano music and we're going to see her crying and how everybody feels bad for her to, we don't want to hear it because of what you're trying to make this about. And I'm wondering if Elizabeth has tried to be a little more dominant on that beach than we've seen. And I don't know. I'm just speculating based on the reactions we heard from everybody else.
No, I agree with you in that something went on. Either they're still pissed about the Jessica thing or something, because I mean, that's one thing. And again, we will probably never hear an unbiased view on what happened, except for maybe Alec, because all we got was him like scratching his stomach the whole time. But which literally he did it like three times. I think
that's
his
move.
He kind of flexes and then like scratches the belly a little bit.
Yeah, and kind of turns to the side just enough so the sun reflects off his eyes. But anyway.
Just perfectly off of his chiseled jawline. Anyways, so I was waiting for there was zero empathy. There was absolutely none. So this something must have gone on. And again, like I get that Carl was taking a nap and like I get that like whatever, but I am extremely surprised that no one even pretended to feel bad for her, because that's like that's a tough one. Like you gotta feel a little bad, or at least have some form of empathy. And also, again, tell me if they were cutting it weirdly, but you see Davey like taking the work that she did, and again she woke everybody up and she was pissing everybody off, whatever, and then throwing it in the woods. That is like actively malicious.
But at the same time, she almost pushed Carl into the fire.
But why would Davey walk off, like take what she did and just take it off and throw it in the woods?
Well, that's something
that she didn't purposely push Carl in the fire. That was not purposeful.
She was
unaware.
She was throwing a tantrum.
There was no tantrum.
There was absolutely a tantrum. That was absolutely
because she was sitting there and her eyes are so blue and so loud that like she had that where she kind of breathed it in and she sat in there. If she was throwing a tantrum, she would have been yelling at them. But instead what she did here's my problem.
People throw tantrums in different ways. She was dragging the biggest piece of bamboo she could find in the most obnoxious way to get attention. That's a tantrum.
I know. I really don't agree that she was doing that to get attention. That bamboo
you really
thing.
Don't, you don't think bamboo- she picked a whole tree. It was a tree.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a tree. So when it's 7 feet behind you, how does she know it's going to push Carl in the fire? I agree that she was upset, but I wouldn't go. I really don't think that she was doing that for attention.
She was definitely doing this on purpose. She could I have don't gone agree anywhere with that. Else with this piece. That's fine. You don't have to agree. I'll look at the chat. I'm 3 for 3.
Yeah, the chat is really where all intelligent conversations lie.
It was a tantrum, because also what she was doing was trying to get a reaction from people, and she did, because by her dragging that through, that's when Davey said, "What's going on? Let's talk." That's what you're wanting to get when you don't have the words for it and you're frustrated and you don't know how to express yourself, so you throw a tantrum.
But she was saying, "I need to sleep. I haven't slept in 19 days and I haven't said anything."
No, and I get that, but she said it after somebody else said to her, "Let's talk." Because up until that point, she wasn't coming out and saying, "Guys, this is why I need to do this."
She was saying, "I do need to do this." She wasn't explaining why. There's no need. I mean, I guess she didn't feel there was a need to say why. And I think when they were getting that's probably what they were getting upset about.
But that's the other thing too. When it's Survivor and you're about to take apart a shelter, you need to explain why you're about to take apart the shelter. And I know that
I feel like this was there was a lot of camera tricks on this one.
Yeah, but this was but the way when Davey said it, and then everybody kind of went into the shelter, and she was standing there, and she was making that face, and she even said she gets really, really like you can read it on her face. Everybody already knows she's mad. I mean, I get what she was doing, because I mean, I'll do the same thing, and I will call it a tantrum. Maybe you don't want to call it that, but I will do the same thing where if somebody's pissing me off and I don't know how to confront it, I will absolutely just start being like kind of passive aggressively annoying. And to me, that is throwing a tantrum. And the thing is, though, like, I don't understand why Davey was just taking it apart and throwing it away. I also don't understand why half of it couldn't just be up and half of it couldn't just be down. Like, I don't understand.
Because it looked big.
It was big, and there's only 5 people, and I don't understand why everybody go over there, and I'll just stay in this little area where my back's not going to throb.
What's the angle? And that's the problem, me being the Survivor fan. I was like, physically, what are they trying to do? So did she want it, like, angled?
She wanted it because she wanted them split, because I guess it's easier on your back, because when it's the big circle, I guess it's more uncomfortable on your back than when it's the other way. There's more give to it. Because they can kind of flatten out.
I was curious about that. I knew they weren't going to tell us that, but I was curious about that.
I think that's what it was. So she wants it so it can flatten out, so it feels more like a bed instead of a giant, like, circle going into your back. And I get that. I just think So I think that this is such a bizarre situation, because what you have is you have somebody who's taking it upon themselves to cut everything in half and start doing this. Mm-hmm. And then, but she's not communicating with anybody on the tribe other than Kara. It didn't look like she said it to anybody else. It just looked like she started doing it. Carl was there. He was laying down and everybody else wasn't there. And no, I don't feel bad for Carl that he was trying to take a nap. Like, I don't care. But in terms of cutting the bamboo in half, Davey comes back. I can understand why he's like, what are you doing? And this was a feud where nobody knew how to actually express themselves like people, where it was just, let's talk. And so what ended up happening was you had one side who was just cutting it. You had another side who was like, screw this. This isn't going to work. We don't have enough time. And then you had the other side be like, well, now it's time to retaliate. And then finally it all comes to a head and it's like, all right, what the hell is going on? Like, what is happening here? And it was just a mess.
I think that this whole conversation circles back to the fact that like both parties were given an opportunity to speak like adults. And clearly there has been prior tension, because like, again, I think pre-conversation, Elizabeth was, I don't want unhinged is the completely wrong word, but Elizabeth was not communicating correctly. And then when Elizabeth was given the opportunity to communicate correctly, Davey then screwed it up on his end. So no one like was willing to listen to the other party. And I think that is just telling of prior tension. And then you have Kara sitting in the corner munching on some popcorn while Alec is scratching his belly.
So before we get to that, I want to say first, what you and me just did is exactly what they should have done. You see how we just like eased that tension.
So
we were about to scream at each other, and Alexa didn't agree with me and I didn't agree with her, and we were about to scream at each other. And now look at us. But the other thing is
people,
too, but,
this is how discourse. Yeah.
That was it. That wasn't that hard. But the other thing, as we pat ourselves on the back, the thing that I found most interesting was Kara was the one helping Elizabeth. And I expected Carl to be against Elizabeth. I did, because you could tell as soon as he picked his head up, I was like, man, this guy is not happy.
He's got something to say.
Yeah. And then you see Davey, and he doesn't look happy. But with Kara, the fact that her confessional was, oh, there's a riff here. I didn't realize that there was going to be this. I was like, wow. Like, she has no sympathy for Elizabeth either. It's just, hey, like, or maybe there was some more to her confessional, but what we saw was, no, I don't care about Elizabeth, but man, now that I know that they're going to feud with her, hey, there's hope for me and Alec. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I think horses were tossed out the window and Kara's life alert, like, beeped a little faster, and that's all she cared about.
That's it. That's all she cared about. So I thought that was really interesting. This Orange Tribe, I don't get it. They're about to merge. I don't know where everybody's going to end up sitting on each other's side.
Right. Only the Green Tribe, and excellent transition by me, only the Green Tribe seems to have real alliances.
And also, though, I could see the entire Green Tribe working together in the merge, because Gabby and Christian are still close. And I feel like because now they don't have to go to tribal where it's these brochachos versus the women, I feel like this five is a group that could knock off two or three people before one of the Tivas actually get voted out of the game. I feel like there's a really good chance that the Tivas stay intact for a little while, because I think that somebody like Allison's going to wait a little bit before she makes her move, because now she doesn't have to make her move. She doesn't have to do it. So why would you get rid of people you've been working with, you know, for what? This was night 17 that Lyrsa just went home. So for 17 full days, you've been working with John and Dan. You don't have to get rid of them now. And if Gabby trusts you, and if Christian trusts Gabby, that's a solid group of five.
Yeah. And this is another one where like Allison, John, and Dan have never really, I mean, they went to one tribal council where they all voted for Jeremy. Am I right? Is that the only one?
That's the only one.
Their loyalty hasn't really been tested. And this is what happens when you have a tribe this strong. But I think they were getting there, because you hear John mutter something about Gabby when he's holding that thing up and he's like, she's got enough rope. I don't understand why she can't do this.
Yeah.
And I think this Brochachas thing, I think in an alternate universe, could have been a bad thing, because I wrote down, I thought maybe there was a chance they were going to tribal council. They're waving this Brochachas thing around. And if I'm not in that group, if I'm like, oh, me and my chick alliance and there's two dudes, I should not be doing that. That is a terrible idea. So I think it's really weird that they have been like kind of loudly parading it around. And I think it's been fine because they haven't gone to tribal council. And again, they have the numbers, but I'm a little surprised by how open they've been with it.
And I almost think that it's just what, at this point, it's what they're calling each other, if that makes sense, where I don't even think that they realize that it's coming across. We know that that's the name of their alliance. We know that they said that at one point, hey, this is the name of our... Whereas, you know, I don't know if Gabby and... Like, Gabby and Allison shouldn't know that this is the name of the alliance. Maybe they're just thinking, hey, you're Bro Chacho, because look at us. Like, it could almost be like a pet name they're giving Christian. Do you know what I mean? Because look at us, we're the big buff dudes, and you're just our little Bro Chacho. So,
yeah. Because I don't know. A name just makes it scary.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too, though. Like, yeah, but I'm saying, though, like, if Nick were to be like, yeah, man, we're rock stars, nobody's going to be like, or if Nick had said to Mike, you're a rock star, man, like, you're just, nobody's going to be like, oh, my God, he called him a rock star, because nobody knows that that's the name of his alliance. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, but I think the fact that they're saying, like, we're the Bro Chachos, you throw a we in there, and that Fs everything up.
Well, that's true. It's also really hard for Gabby and Allison to be a Bro Chacho.
Yeah, they are the anti-Bro Chachos. Yeah. So we see Gabby and Allison have this moment. I'm curious. I think to your point, they're going to stick together for a little bit because they're just, the five of them are too good. But I'm curious to see what happens to Allison because I think she does want to play and I think she kind of had a chance and then it didn't happen. But I think Gabby just doesn't, and I don't mean this in a, like, they're cool and she's not. I think Gabby just and Allison just don't fit in with those two guys, and they have found Christian, and I think Christian has been their kind of their new kid. But in an alliance, especially a group that big, there's quite a divide in just chemistry. So I think Christian is going to be your middleman on this.
Absolutely.
We'll see where he goes.
But that's what I'm saying. When we go into this merge situation, it's not like Allison and Angelina were super tight. It's not like Allison and Mike were super tight. So I still feel like Allison's going to feel the tightest with this group, the rest of this group. And so if that's your five, okay, the merge is at 13. You need two more people. That's it. You only need to find two more people. And Christian's probably going to try to go back to Nick. And Nick has Mike. And that could be your seven right there, is that group. And, you know, you could say it's Christian – you know, that gives Mike a little bit of hope because it's Mike, Christian, Nick. And he still has the numbers because it's Allison, Dan, and him. And Dan's probably going to be the one who sways because he's going to go running back to Kara because we've been waiting for that the entire time.
Oh, yeah. So I can't believe you brought that up.
Yeah, he's like missing her so much. It's been 6 days since I saw the girl I met 16 days ago.
But, hey, that's huge for Kara. Kara's getting a huge break here.
Yeah, and so I know we didn't talk about this, and we don't want to dwell on it too much, but Alex at the merge, and I wouldn't be surprised if Alex sticks around for a little bit. And look, we have heard in the past, after Nyanka and Purple Kelly quit, Jeff said that at any point in the game, if you quit, like, you don't get a jury vote, that could happen, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying Alex going to quit, but hey, he could be the first person who actually makes the jury that doesn't get invited to a reunion. That just could be a fact. And look, I don't even know who said that you couldn't get that he wasn't coming to the reunion. I don't know who actually broke that news. Maybe that's truth. I mean, but the edit he's getting and how big of a part of this season he is right now, I don't know.
How crazy would that be if Alec was at the reunion and all of this was just hearsay?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, that would be crazy. But still, I mean, that TMZ thing threw us all off. And honestly, it might be the best fake spoiler of all time. I mean, it's really throwing people off. I mean, it's up there. And I know this is a very distasteful way to compare it to something, but it needs to be thrown out there. This is up there like when Adam had an Instagram photo out there while he was out on the island. And everybody was like, well, Adam can't, you know, win. Because he's home. He just made an Instagram post and it was, you know, it was something else. And, you know, I think he had said on our podcast, actually, that he had told, like, his brother had said, I'll do this for you and, you know, whatever. And it's kind of crazy because that threw everybody off. And that was the winner of that season. And it wasn't his intention to throw people off, but it still threw people off. And that's what's happening with this Alec and Kara thing.
Yeah. And I have 2 points on this, but to your point, like, Adam, the winner, posted something, or someone under Adam's name posted something, and Alec is getting apparently a $5 million fine, but maybe he isn't, I don't know. But Kelly Wentworth had a very active Instagram in the past few, or in the months that she was gone, and it so clearly differed. Like, as someone who's been following her for years, it was so different from her other posts, and her posts have been so different since then. But again, what's the line? I don't know. Yeah. Is it dropping an F-bomb? I don't know.
I think it's because they actually put out there that they were on the show, like said, we're on the show. There's a difference, I think, between saying I'm on the show and I'm not. I don't even remember. But I mean, the way I look at it is maybe 13th place doesn't make the jury. But I feel like this is one of those seasons, because it's a 20-person cast, that whoever is the first boot at the merge, they're going to be on the jury, because if it's a final three, you want to have 10 people on the jury. So I think you're looking at him making the jury. And look, I don't mind him at all. I really don't mind him at all. I like him. I think he's fun. I think he makes sense in a lot of the things he's saying. I'm curious to see if him and Christian are ever going to work together. I don't know if I buy it, but hey, if Christian's been working with John and Dan, why can't he work with Alec? Especially when Dan goes running back to Kara so obviously, like, you know, it's going to be obvious. So yeah, I think this could work.
And this kind of goes back to the TMZ thing, which I know people are sick of us talking about it, but to your point, this might be the biggest, like, oh my God, we are all so wrong about this. Because they could make – I know someone gave us crap for saying they could be in the final three, which, first of all, was a joke. Obviously, Alec is not in the final two. But how? What's saying they're not three and four? Because Alec is getting a middle to slightly average edit, and we thought they were going to absolutely destroy him and just have him picking his nose for 17 days.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not listening to anybody anymore.
No, and I think that's the whole thing. I mean, it's funny, too, the people who had the spoiled boot list for 36 and how wrong that was. And then this season with 37 and this Alec thing. I mean, I don't know. And I want to point this out, too, in terms of people who haven't sat out of a challenge yet. Everybody has sat out of a challenge on this season except for two people. You know who they are without looking?
Everyone has sat out of a challenge. John?
Yep, that's one.
Dan?
Christian. He's the only other one to not sit out of a challenge. What's up?
What did Dan sit out of?
The first one. Because everybody sat out of the first
challenge
one.
That I would get to.
But I think it's so funny that going into the merge, here's your two people who never sat out of a challenge. It's John, which you would expect, and Christian. Like, I just think that's funny.
That is super funny.
Yeah, I think that's great. So Vaughn finally took a hit tonight, Alexa, which is fantastic.
About damn time. We
might have some hope. He had a full tribe coming into this, and it was a disaster. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, or should we just jump over to an MVP LVP real quick?
Oh God, MVP LVP. I mean, God, I forgot. I'm so out of practice.
I know. Intern's on his game now.
There's a lot of LVPs. I think the entire team, but I think Davey, Carl, and Elizabeth could all be LVPs. And I think even the Jabroni tribe, I'm scared to give any of them the MVP because I don't – maybe Nick could be the MVP. I don't even know whose team he's on. If that's you, then you're welcome.
I think Mike would be the MVP, honestly. And Mike is on Vaughn's team, I believe. But the reason I think it would be Mike – he has Mike and Nick. And the reason that I'll make the argument for Mike is because this went Mike's way. He keeps the numbers so he looks good for the Goliaths. And he has Nick in his pocket and showed that Nick will vote with him even if it's against one of his own. And Angelina still thinks that Mike is on her side. And a merge is coming. So I think a lot of this went Mike's way tonight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In terms of LVP, I will say also I think it's Elizabeth just because of what happened and the reaction by everybody to it. Clearly, to me, she's on the wrong side of everything. So I will say she's LVP because – maybe not because of her actions so much as the reaction to her actions.
To the reactions to her actions.
Yeah, because I think all four of them were like kind of against her, if that makes sense.
So you're giving Vaughn right down the middle.
Yeah, he gets one of each. He's had MVP, I believe, every – you had Dan the first week, and then he's had MVP every week since.
Wow. Man, Vaughn is so good at everything.
Gotta get rid of his
team. He's got to go.
And Gabby,
Bradley
Chris.
Is still hanging on by a thread. And actually, Bradley is doing more than hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, he's beating me.
There it is.
So I mean, that would be my argument. I don't know if there's anybody else you would want to say for MVP. Nobody on my team deserves it. I have Gabby, Christian, and Carl. Nobody did anything, so none of them deserve it. But
yeah. Oh, Natalie's gone too. Oh wow. Yeah, you're dead.
I am.
I'm gonna give it to Nick because my team was good, but I know no one will give any of them the MVP. I think Nick has put himself in a good spot where he's with Mike, and yes, he's probably Mike's number two, but I was super wrong about Nick. I thought Nick was going to be a big pot stirrer. I thought he was going to try to take control. And I think on this Jabroni tribe, Nick has understood his place and played it correctly where he hasn't really put a target on his back. And I think that's going to bode very well for him going into the merge, because I think he came out way too hot and now he's kind of cooling down and I think he's playing a good game.
Yeah, I think it's a really good – I think he's got a really good edit going right now. I really do. I think that he needed some time. He needs to get his footing. He needs to figure out what he was doing, and mm-hmm. now he has. And I think it's really worked for him. I think you're seeing that right now. So, yeah, I think Nick has had a much better episode, and I think a much better arc than I expected. And he's one of those people you rewatch the season, you go, wow, that's right. He almost went home first. If Pat right. doesn't hurt his back, he probably goes home first.
And then he very well could win. So
yeah,
that's your Chris story.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think what else. Do we want to talk about that thing?
Yeah, so we're going to actually – we've been doing this for how long now? We've been doing this for years. We're finally going to do something. We're now finally going to do a Patreon. But we're not going to take anything away from anybody. It's just going to be additions. So it's not going to be like, oh, you know, here's a new thing. So we're going to probably send that live pretty soon. We figure it's probably time. It's, you know, we're not gonna be like, oh, there's no more recaps unless you donate. But
unless you give us $50 a month, we're not recapping anything.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are the worst. So it'll just be something you guys will be able to check it out. We have little tiers. It's nothing too crazy. We're not like Rob, where we can give you discounts to things unless you guys want, like, I don't know, discounts at like McDonald's or something. I got a couple of those little peel off pieces. I could hand those out if anybody wants those, if they want to give us like $10 a month for that.
That's not a bad idea. I have a couple Uber credits that I don't really know what to do with. So that's it. Give us five bones a month and that's what happens. Yeah. We're
gonna release that, but
yeah, we'll release that. We're still working out a couple kinks, but we'll probably make a Facebook page where, and I know we haven't been able to do comments as much, and I know I'm trying to think of what else to do. Like, I know you guys have put in a lot of requests for different podcasts, and Phil and I finally feel like we have an opportunity to start doing those and just doing different podcasts based on what you guys are interested in. So again, this is as new to us as it is to you guys, but we're going to give it a shot and gauge what the interest is.
Yeah, exactly. And we won't hold it against you if nobody gives us anything because
it's fine. You know. And for people in the chat who are saying you're poor, the first tier is $1. So
yeah,
it's all good.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't worry. Actually, the first tier is $100, so only Vaughn is donating to us.
Yeah, because Vaughn has a lot of money, and he's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And he also, I believe, was with Gabby tonight.
Oh, my God. Is he in Denver? Or is she in D.C.?
I guess she's in D.C. I just saw this, and it says Gabby wants to be traded to the winning fantasy team.
Have you seen – wait, where did he put that?
He sent it to my personal Twitter. Ooh.
Oh my God, that's so annoying.
Yeah, it sucks, Alexa. He likes me more.
Did you see that Gabby's new Twitter name is Gabby Paspooky?
No, I did not. But that's funny.
Because it's Halloween, everybody.
There you go. That's funny. And now it's not Halloween. The next time we see you, it'll be November.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, and keep an eye out for that. Alexa, make sure, yeah, let's close this out now that we're rambling. But make sure you know, don't tell everybody what's happening Sunday, but we have somebody cool coming Sunday.
Fun thing happening.
Actually, we have a guest the next two episodes.
Oh my God, you're stealing the thunder. Someone goes, Vaughn is rich in the chat. Oh my God, we're spreading wild rumors. So for everyone who listened on Monday, thank you, because we are now at over 3,800 subscribers on YouTube. We are at 3,808 this morning. As of this afternoon, we're at 3,807. So screw you to whoever the person is who unsubscribed. But keep hitting that subscribe button. Again, we're going to be coming out with a bunch more stuff for you guys, so hopefully you enjoy it. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, tweet at us. And as Phil mentioned, we are going to have two amazing guests the next two podcasts, because God forbid Phil and I do two podcasts together in a row. It's been a whole month and we're just going to keep this rolling. We do not want to disclose who they are because we want it to be a surprise, but Sunday night and Wednesday after the episode, we are going to have two awesome, awesome guests for you guys. We're super excited. And we hope you are too. And start speculating. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll see you then.
See you then.